I'm hoping by now you've picked up on the concept of this podcast. It's quite simply to give a spotlight to all those who contribute to the wrestling figure community. This week, I'm doing a first for the show and paying tribute to one of the most active, supportive, and just all-around great guys in the community. I'm talking about Manny, aka Figure Kingdom. Now is your chance to get a Figure Kingdom t-shirt absolutely free. All you have to do is email me a screenshot at hairshot@gmail.com that you're following Figure Kingdom on Instagram, and I will draw out at least one winner, but like I usually do, maybe more. And then I'll send you a Figure Kingdom shirt absolutely free. I'm so grateful for all that Figure Kingdom has contributed to the wrestling figure community, and his friendship and support for this podcast has been unreal. Take a screenshot that you're following Figure Kingdom on Instagram and email it to me at hairshot@gmail.com and get yourself an awesome Figure Kingdom t-shirt absolutely free. Do it now.
Recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Oh, it's live, pal.
This week's guest has done so much for the wrestling figure community, from his stop-motion crash collision wrestling to his figure photography. Matt has helped to bring our hobby to the forefront with all the big retailers and the wrestling organizations themselves. Last week, AEW dropped their new wave of figures. Yep, that was WrestleZone's own Matt Goldberg's work on the photographs. He's here, and I get to talk to Matt right now. Matt, how's it going, man?
Hey, how are you? Thanks so much for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure to have you here. It's an honor, and I think you're my first celebrity guest here on the podcast.
Oh, man, having that title, my goodness. Thank you. That's really flattering for you to put me in a category like that. I just love engaging with all you guys. You know, all my supporters have really helped me along the years, really have kept up with me and have become my internet family. You know, community is just a huge, huge part of my life for, I want to say, like 14 or 15 years now, which is crazy. I don't really know how to not be in it anymore, I would say. So it's a pleasure to meet you and a pleasure to be on your show. So thank you.
Absolutely. You're welcome. And like I say, it's an honor to have you on here. Matt, where were you born and raised?
So I am always a little confused where exactly I was born. I want to say it was Evanston, Illinois, which is a suburb in northern Illinois. And then I grew up in the northern suburbs most of my life. And then I went to college in the East Coast. So that was a big change of scenery for me, always being a homebody. And now I'm in Illinois with my wife. But you live out west, I think, don't you?
Yes, I do. Out in California.
Yeah, that's much rather where my wife and I would be. So I'm hoping eventually we make our way out there. But Illinois is kind of boring. So especially when you've lived here most of your life.
Absolutely. I always tell people it's beautiful here geographically, not too beautiful once you get around to the taxes.
Oh, yeah. It's that is one of the frightening things with what you could get for your money out there, I guess, compared to here. My wife and I absolutely love it in California every time we visited. And I really hope one day we can make our way that direction. It's just a really chill, at least where I've been. I can't say I've been to all parts of California. But where we've been, it's just really chill and nice. And it's a very creative state too, I think, which we would thrive in personally. So it's just always been on my radar since I was young.
Man, with your resume, Southern California, Hollywood area, it's calling. And maybe I forget, I'm not real good with the date stuff anymore, but I think it was, is it 2 years? I think it is. You'll be able to come out and meet up with all of us.
Yeah, I would love that. I believe WrestleMania is California for the Hollywood one, and the next year it's in Texas, if I'm not mistaken. I'm really bad with keeping up with all that myself, but I've never actually been to WrestleMania. Surprisingly, I know they were here in Chicago many years ago, and I have no idea why my dad didn't take me, but I guess I'll throw him under the bus for that one, for not taking me to the show. But it's definitely something I wanted to do. And I went to school in Florida, and when they were just in Tampa, that was a huge thing I would have loved to have done. But obviously with COVID, I was kind of scared to go with my wife, and you know, because everything was just so uncertain. And that would have been a real fun one in my old stomping ground there. But I would love to go in California, and honestly, it might be something, now that you mention it, I might keep in mind for the future, because it'd be so much fun to meet up with everybody. And I think I'd enjoy that more than actually WrestleMania personally. But
yeah, that's what a lot of people say. A lot of people in the community now say, you know, WrestleMania weekend's more about meeting up with the people than it is even the matches and stuff. And the first WrestleMania I went to was, I think it was 31 in Santa Clara. Actually, that's the only one I've been to. And I'm not as big of a fan of the current product as I was the golden era or whatever they call it. But yeah, it was a blast, the whole thing. It wasn't so much about the matches even as it was the experience. So
yeah, that's really, really cool. I'm jealous you got to do all that, honestly. So I've always wanted to go, but like you said, I think meeting everybody would just be much more fulfilling. You know, as you get to connect with online friends you've talked to for months or years or however long, you know, and you finally get to unite. And that's why I like the wrestling conventions, and they haven't really done them in Chicago all that much until recently. They've started to a little bit.
So I guess the other thing is then you would get your trip out to California that you were talking about, because I think it's this year is in Texas and then it's somewhere else and then California, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Man, if we're not done with this COVID business in 2 years, I don't know what to say. So hopefully it'll be long gone by then.
Yeah, man, I pray that's the case. That'd be horrific if it's still, you know, at least as big of a deal as it is right now. I pray it's not, because I would love to get out there for that, or even, you know, just going to San Diego Comic-Con or something. You know, I love all those events, and I've only been once, and I really, really want to take my wife to WrestleMania and to a Comic-Con. That's like a goal of mine, and it's so hard to get into Comic-Con, it seems, and WrestleMania for that matter, but I'm really hoping that we could do that together, because that'd be really fun.
She'd love Comic-Con, and just being the San Diego experiences. And that's one of my favorite places to be. Matt, so when did you get into wrestling, or how did you discover it? What was the genesis of it for you?
So I like to say that when I was 4 years old is when I recall at least being a wrestling fan, or, you know, getting wrestling figures and whatnot. And my dad used to watch it, because he grew up watching it with, you know, his brothers, his mom and dad and everything. And, you know, I don't know why, I guess he would just watch it and I started to like it. And of course he'd buy me the figures, and, you know, my collection would start growing from a young age. And, you know, my dad's a big sports fan, and he always tried to get me into sports, and it just never worked. Like, I played sports, but I was never a fan of it. And I just always loved my toys and being creative and stuff. And wrestling was like the only quote unquote sport that's ever been steady in my life. And obviously seeing what it's turned into over the years, it's a big part of my life now. But my dad's always made such an effort to keep up with wrestling, knowing that's like my vice with when it comes to like my interests and things. And yeah, so it's been in my life for a long time.
And did you go to live events, or did you have a home arena? Did you go to house shows when you were a kid, or?
Yeah, my dad, from what I recall, he used to take me to some of the shows, because my dad, whenever we talk about this, he usually says that we used to watch WCW a lot more than WWE, which makes sense thinking back on the Attitude Era in the 90s. But yeah, he used to take me to stuff quite a bit, I think. I mean, we never really got pay-per-views and whatnot because they're so expensive. And I couldn't tell you how much wrestling we watched all the time, I would say. But it was definitely on quite a bit in our house, enough that I would want the toys of them, of course. So, but my dad and my mom, for that matter, was a good sport, but my dad was always a bad influence with taking me to Toys R Us and, really starting my wrestling figure collection young. And I still have like pretty much everything from back then, I would say, for the most part. And when I look back at my, BCA figures or the WCW, like LJN style ones, they're just in horrific condition, but it's still cool to have them in my collection.
Yeah, I tell kind of a similar story about my LJNs. That's the ones that I broke in playing with. And it's so easy now to think, man, if I had just kept them in the package or just took better care of them, I'd have thousands of dollars. But honestly, I feel like I wouldn't trade those memories of, having matches and playing with them for, if they said, hey, you could have 10 grand for your collection or those memories, I'm taking the memories all day long.
I'm with you 100%. Like, people ask me, do you ever get rid of like your Jax figures? And I'm like, no way. Like, that's my collection, And it started it really. It all kicked it off. And I don't know if someone even offered me a dollar amount. I don't think I could. Like, even with like the AEW Chase figures, like, I told my dad like how much some of them go for. And he's like, well, you should sell it. I'm like, I'm not gonna sell it. Like, it's my collection. I don't care that some guy's gonna pay, $2,000 or something absurd for it. Like, that's not why I have it. Like, the figures all, they have a special meaning to me. And now with my, photography and reviews and whatever else, they serve a totally different purpose besides just being my collection. And I personally don't think I could ever part with it. Even my wife said to me last night, she's like, I don't know if you'll ever break away from the community. And I said, I don't know if I ever would, because it's just like I'm so deep into it from being a collector since I was a kid, and then doing everything over the years with videos and photography and whatnot. I don't know. I just don't self ever really cutting myself off from collecting or the community unless something like detrimental were to happen. But even that would be really hard.
You mentioned you kind of jumped in with the Jacks, right? Did you go back and get LJNs or Hasbros, or what lines do you collect? Are you a completionist, or just are you picking and choosing different guys from different lines, or what's your collection look like?
Sure. So it started with the Bone Crunchers in the WCW, like Galoob or whatever you consider them. I'm always bad with the technicality of some of those older lines. And then it went into the Jax Titantron Live. So I have a lot of those. And it's really whatever my mom and dad would get me. Because back then, obviously, I wasn't spending my own money like I do now. And trust me, I spend more than I should be. But it's very easy to go down that rabbit hole, of course. But yes, yeah, so I have Titantron Lives, then of course the Ruthless Aggression figures, and then Classic Superstars. And I took a break from wrestling. I always like to say it was around like 2006, 2007, and I like totally regret doing that because that's when like the classic line was starting, and I missed like the first several waves of those. And it was a line I really loved collecting with my dad because he'd go with me to Toys R Us. And, if it was a wrestler I didn't know as much about it, he would explain to me who they are and their background. And it was just a really cool bonding experience with my dad. And, that's when I was getting much older. And my dad would even figure hunt for me on his work trips or whatever. He'd hit up Toys R Us's and Targets and Walmarts and things like that. And but now, as I've gotten much older, and I did stop motion animation with them where they were like my actors, so it was important to me to have as close to everybody as possible. But even so, like my Jax collection has a lot of holes in it. And Mattel, the Elites, I'm like 99% complete with, I would say.
Wow.
Did I learn my lesson with skipping on stuff? Like, I hate it, and I don't ever want to repeat that again if I could help it. And I haven't gone back for a lot of stuff because it's just, I debate, like, am I really going to do anything with it? besides just have it in my collection. And even finding a lot of that older stuff, like the classic superstars or whatever, is pretty challenging now when you go to conventions. It's just always Mattel stuff because they've been around for 10 years or so, and it's a lot harder to track some of those odds and ends down. Or I just don't want to spend the money of what people are asking for it, because it doesn't mean that much to me, I guess. With like AEW and the Mattel stuff, like I'm all over that. And like I don't collect all the basics as much, or the two packs anymore, because those aren't as useful to me. But everything Elite, like I have to have it. Those are my superstars for my art. So it's important I have everybody in their different outfits, so if I'm recreating a certain moment, I could, you know, like, oh, I have him in that, let's use that one for this shot, whatever. And yeah, there's probably, I have Hasbros too, now that I think about it. I have a handful of those, and I did pick up some. Those blew up due to the major pod and everything, which I'm glad I picked up some of them, because now seeing what they go for, I'd be like, I wouldn't pay that for one of them.
I'm seeing like smoking guns, $300 a piece, you know?
Wow. Yeah, no way.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm down to where I just need that last green card series besides Adam Bomb, but I'm kind of just residing to the fact that I'll never complete it, because there's no way I'm spending a grand for five figures. Well, 1-2-3 Kid, I think alone is $2,500 now or something like that.
That's insane. My wife would literally shoot me if I did that. I mean, we do well as it is, but not well enough where I'd be comfortable throwing around money like that, you know? But
yeah, I would hope my wife would leave me if I spent $2,500 on a figure. I deserve it, I think.
Mine would too. That's just insane.
So you mentioned you have like 90% of the Mattels. And so when you say that, I'm assuming with photography and everything, you're opening all those, or do you keep anything mint on card?
Yeah. So I wasn't big into mint stuff until the last few years, I would say. And now with all the collector's edition and the chased ones or whatever, I'll buy two of them so I could have the mint and one to obviously use for photography and whatnot. Or it's my favorite. Like, I'm a big fan of Bray Wyatt, so I've been collecting a lot of his stuff, mint and loose. But I don't have the room to display all that on top of all my loose crap. So it adds up fast. And my wife's a really good sport, let's put it that way. Like, I know my friends on Facebook always laugh when I post, you know, my latest deliveries, and I'll post like three times a week or whatever. And it's just a ton of figures that it's like a running joke in my neighborhood and with my neighbors or whatever. And, you know, it all adds up fast. And I wish I had a bigger basement to display stuff. I'm fortunate enough to be able to get as much as I have. And, you know, I don't do them all justice, unfortunately. Because people are always asking me for like a collection video. And it's like, well, I have most of them in totes and things. Like, I don't have the room to have them all loose. My dad likes to joke that if I put a $10 or $20 bill on every figure, I'd see how much money I've spent. Because it adds up fast.
Yeah, I sometimes do the same thing. I'll look at my collection and go, man, if I imagine on these elites a $20 bill, like you're saying, that's kind of horrifying, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it is horrifying, you know? I mean, but then at the same time, it's like, you know, I mean, obviously, if you're not good with your money, then it's a problem. But if you're okay with your money, and then you think of, you know, all that money you're spending, and say, what else would you be spending it on? You know, would it just be put away for what? So yeah. I don't know. I guess that's not the most responsible mindset. You know, my collecting is just such a huge part of me and what makes me happy. And, you know, my wife and I, we don't go without if I could help it. So it's just being responsible, of course, but we don't need to have a financial talk.
Yeah, there you go. I hear people saying they're gonna, you know, this figure is worth this or that, or, and I don't really pay much mind to that, because like you said, unless something horrifically detrimental comes out of left field, I'm not getting out of the collection game, and I plan on dying with this collection right by my side, and somebody else may come behind me and be able to sell that stuff and make the money, but I'll be paying it forward, because I won't be doing that for myself.
I'm with you 100% on that. Like you said, like, I don't collect for value. I don't care about any of that. You know, I collect what I like, what makes me happy. And I try to be more of a completionist now if I can. The Elites and the AEW stuff, of course, too. But the chases will kill me because those are I'm not going to spend that kind of money on one figure. It's irresponsible in my opinion, but to each their own, of course. So I just wouldn't feel comfortable, I guess, spending that. And so it's hard in that regard because I love having every attire and, you know, the different looks and heads and everything. So I could recreate whatever moment it may be. And it's really hard to swallow that pill knowing I won't get my hands on some of those. But obviously getting a little bit with Jazzwares where I get to shoot them, but it pains me opening some of those knowing what you could be behind some of those. But at the same time, it's cool because then it's like, well, now I don't feel as bad, I guess, because they're already out of the package, so now I just do whatever. But I don't know. I guess I never really paid much attention to value until Jazzwares brought these chases back again, because I never paid attention to that with Mattel or anything. That's just absurd what stuff goes for.
You've got a ton of figures, obviously, and I have no idea how many Mattel, like how many unique characters or wrestlers they've put out over the years. I don't know if it's, you know, 100, 500, 1,000, for instance. But like, for example, I saw you had that haul where you opened up your Right to Censor figures. How many extra figures like that do you think you have in your collection as far as Mattel hasn't made Val Venus or Bull Buchanan or... but you've got them. Like, how many extra guys like that do you think you have?
As far as customs, that's another rabbit hole that I've dived into because there's so many amazing artists in the community, and it's just fascinating what people can do. Just beautiful work. And, you know, I've gone down that rabbit hole now, and it's a pricey one. But I love having customs made, and I'm constantly like, oh, I can make this guy, or I'll look at a Jax figure and be like, oh, we're never getting him, but there's his head, and oh, this body would work well for him, you know. And then you track down all the parts or whatever, and I send it off to one of my friends to customize them. But I'd say I got maybe 50 customs or so, if I had to guess. It could even be more by now. It's very addicting, but some of the work people do is just stunning, and it's so cool to use them in photography or just display them in my collection. I wish I knew how to do this. I've never attempted it because, I don't know, I just feel I would never touch anybody on how awesome their work is. It's just mind-blowing.
I'm a big fan of supporting guys like Curb Stomp Customs and Al over at M&M. And I don't want to leave anybody out because there's a lot of guys that do great jobs, but I just think it's so cool what they bring to the community. And I'm with you. I like supporting those guys any way I can.
Yeah. Those are all people I definitely support. Curb Stomp is definitely my go-to for decals. All the time I give him business, and it's just amazing. He even knows how to do that stuff. And Al, you know, his clothing is so cool. I don't remember if I have any of Al's clothing in my collection yet or not. I forget. But I've known Al many years now, and it's so cool seeing how he's grown his own brand over the years. Really, really good guy. Shout out to Al and Curb Stomp, of course. And, you know, I've worked with several artists over the years, and, you know, I just love watching what everybody does. And that's why, like, I write for WrestleZone, and I've made an effort over the past year or two, I think, to develop a column where I'll reach out to artists in the community, like customize things. Like, people are just doing really cool and unique stuff, and, you know, do a nice blurb on them so they get some more exposure, you know. Like, it's cool that I get to write for WrestleZone, but I want to give back to the community, you know, other people a stage besides myself. And it's just really nice to see wrestling fans who might not know these artists see their work and be like, wow, like, that person does an amazing job. I'm gonna order something, you know.
As far as your photography goes, when did you get into that? Did you take classes or self-taught, or talk a little bit about how you got into photography? Was it with wrestling figures or doing other stuff, or, you know, what's your background?
Sure. So I went to college and grad school for film and television. You know, I was big into filmmaking, as that's originally what I wanted to do when I was older. And I got burnt out on it, and just doing it so many years in a row, I needed a break from it. And being the collector I am, one day I stumbled upon just toy photography, and I thought it was really cool. And I was like, I wonder if I could do this with wrestling. And I started messing around with it. And, you know, it was taking off a little bit, I think, because nobody's really doing it from what I recall. And I could be wrong. So sorry to anybody who knew it when I was back then. But yeah, I developed a photography group with some of my friends in the community who I saw were doing it also. And, you know, we were all admins of a Facebook group. And then we started posting about it in the community and attracting more and more people in the community to try it out. And, you know, there's a lot of great photographers that have come out of there. And it's just so cool to see what wrestling figure photography has turned into because of that over the years. And, you know, seeing the support of me heavily driven to keep doing it. And I feel every year I'm always improving as I push myself more and more. And, you know, to see the toy companies acknowledging the craft now is really awesome. And you know, there's always new people coming into the community and so many great artists, and you all learn from one another and inspire each other, and it's just super fulfilling. And I'm so happy that so many people enjoy it and that we can inspire, you know, even young kids to do stuff. Like all the time I'll have people asking me, you know, how did you do that, or you inspired me to try this, you know, what do you recommend I use to do this or that. And it's very important to me to always give back to people. As I like to say, when I was first starting and I was inspired, I was totally burned by the person who inspired me. And I said to myself that if I'm ever at a point like that in my figure community career, quote unquote, that, you know, I'll make a huge effort for people just because I know what it's like. And I feel a part of that's led to a lot of my success is what you put out is what you get back, you know, and that's just really fun.
Yeah, I think that's great that you're just giving back positivity. And a lot of people, I think, make the wrong choice when they get a little success or recognition or whatever, and they decide to snub people. And so that's really cool that you went the other way with that.
Thank you. Yeah, I do see it a lot. And, you know, I always like to say you should never forget where you came from. You know, because you were once that kid asking, how do you do that? Or, you know, where can I get that light or figure or whatever? And I just feel that I'm never too good to help somebody out, because you never know if you'll ever be in that position or forget that you were once in that position. But yeah.
For people that I guess maybe have their head buried in the sand or aren't online or don't do social media, or for some strange reason don't know you or don't know your work of art, I mean, you've done stuff for Hero Collector, Wicked Cool Toys, Slim Jim, Mattel, Ringside Collectibles, Amazon, Target, Jazzware, TNA. And I think there's some small company called the WWE that most of us are pretty endeared to. Did I miss anything, or is that? I mean, that's one hell of a resume.
Thank you. Yeah, no, you mentioned plenty. I actually started with Jax, with Jeremy, when I was 15, I think I reached out to him, and he really kicked off my career in that regard. And then, you know, I was doing animated videos for Jax with the UFC twin way back when. And then I was doing my own stop motion animated wrestling show called Crash Collision Wrestling, which is still on my YouTube, and people are just crazy obsessed with that show. And I was just a teenager doing that back then. And I don't know if you saw that Eric Bischoff actually found my show when I was 17 on YouTube, and he wanted to work with me doing his own TV show or whatever. And looking back at it now, my animation wasn't that good, so I'm surprised he liked it that much. But you know, I was just a kid and I couldn't believe he was in my email inbox. And he got me an opportunity with Impact Wrestling in Florida when I was going to school down there. And I documentaries with Elijah Burke and Victoria, who I'm very close with both of them still to this day. And it's just crazy. And then I wound up doing animated video work for the WWE for a year. I did stuff for TNA while I was there a little bit. And geez, I mean, I've done so much over the years. It's hard to even remember all of it at this point. I don't mean that egotistically. It's been a wild journey from this hobby, which I'm forever eternally grateful for. And you know, I've got to meet a lot of my childhood heroes and become friends with some of them. And you know, now Jazzwares has me doing AEW photography. Like, who would have thought? You know, my work lives on Target and Amazon, Walmart and GameStop, all those places, or whoever's selling it these days. It's just very humbling to know a little hobby could stem into something like that. But I'm sure there's other things that I'm not even thinking of at the moment that have been part of the journey. But it's just wild to think back on all of it.
Yeah. If I thought at any point in time I could have any kind of a job or connection to even just the WWE, that'd be enough for me. But there's another 20 awesome companies attached to that resume. So that's super cool and impressive.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. That kind of moves right into the topic of this week's announcement that most figure collectors were all excited for, which was the AEW reveals that came out this week. True or false, you might know the guy who was involved with the photography on those.
I think I was very familiar with that guy. You know, it's really cool to, because I get so excited when that stuff posts, and I don't know if it annoys the hell out of people when I share it, but
they're just jealous if they do. That's all.
Probably. And I'm used to that over the years. I've dealt with that a lot over the years, and it hurts me because I feel I really give back so much. And, you know, I don't understand why someone would be, you know, have animosity towards me. I mean, obviously it would be jealousy or something, but it's just hard to swallow that aspect of it, I should say. But it's just so cool to see everybody's reactions when that work launches. Like, I, you know, out my inbox will blow up where people are asking me questions about, you know, what's going to be shown. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I want to tell you so bad, but I can't, you know. I got to keep the Jazzwares team happy and, you know, be a good teammate there. But it's just really fulfilling to see how excited people get for your work. Like, I had someone today even tell me that they weren't planning on ordering Series 6 at all, and then they saw my pictures and they're like, damn you, Matt, like, you made me want to buy that set, you know. And it's like, well, that's a really cool feeling that, you know, my pictures have that much of an influence over your buying decision. And imagine people who will stumble on it on, you know, Target and Amazon, all those places, and GameStop or wherever, whoever the heck has them listed right now. That's just crazy to me to know that my work is living on a giant retailer's website. Like, who the hell would have thought that would have happened? And I don't know. I'm just very humbled by all of it. So I hope I never come off egotistical, because that's like a huge, huge pet peeve of mine. I can't stand cocky people who think they're above others. And I try my best to not come off that way. If I ever do, I'm sorry. But I'm just excited to share with all my friends who, you know, share in the hobby with me. You know, I can't go to like my neighbor. He's not going to care about some wrestling figures that are shown on the internet, you know? So that's just cool and fun.
It's kind of an interesting dynamic that I hadn't really thought of until you just mentioned that. But the same people that are so excited to see the pictures, so excited to have you like spill company secrets to them, like a complete stranger in some cases, can't understand why you would be just as excited about the work that you put into them. And then they think you're, you know, I don't know if anybody thinks you're coming across as conceited or cocky, but that's kind of a weird dynamic, because they're clamoring for it because they want it so bad, but then they can't understand why you'd be super excited about the work you did, right?
Right. No, you nailed it there. And like I said, I've dealt with plenty over the years, like people who I thought were a good friend, and then, you know, one day they just like totally twist on me, and it's like, whoa, like, you know, it's like people get jealous that I have Wave 6 already, you know, and they don't come out till July. But it's like, I was hired to do this, you know, like, right. What do you want from me, you know? They believed right. in me and reached out to me and said, hey, we love your work. Would you be interested in doing this? And, you know, who would turn down that opportunity? I certainly wouldn't.
And they wouldn't either, you know, if right. the shoe was on the other foot, they would be doing the exact same thing. And yeah, guys, if you're hitting up Matt and asking him to reveal like company secrets, like, maybe think twice before you click the send button and just erase that one and just maybe send him a message like, thanks for the photography or something instead. Anyway, yeah, my brother works for a company and he has inside perks and stuff like that too. And it's just, that's part of the job. I mean, they send you stuff and there's no need to get jealous or upset about that. It's just part of the territory of the job. So.
Right. It's not like, you know, I'm getting favored over someone else or something. It's just, I was hired to do this. So, you know, that's my job. And it's a lot of work. Like, people probably don't even realize how much time goes into just shooting them for those pictures. Like, it's a lot of in-depth photography, and you know, it's very time consuming, and you know, Jazzwares treats me well for that, thankfully. But you know, like, all those leaks, like, kill them, and the momentum of revealing stuff, and the leaks have gotten so bad, and people come running to me like, oh, is this it, or is that the, you know, final product or whatever. It's like, I love seeing stuff too, but at the same time, it's hurting the community for us, because the toy companies get so frustrated by it that there's no surprises anymore. And you know, and I don't want to be the one leaking things. Like, I had someone come to me a week or two ago and ask me if I was the one leaking all the images of the figures, because I have them in my possession already. And I was just totally taken aback by that. It's just like, why would I want to jeopardize the opportunity I've been given,
right,
to ruin it for everybody, you know? That's, and then people get so worked up over crappy images, and then they see like the ones that I did that are the final production ones, and like, oh, it looks really good, or, you know, it looks okay. But it's like, and I'm not saying that because it's my pictures. It's just people, you know, they're their own worst enemy in that they judge like some really crappy prototype image or whatever that someone got from a factory, and they don't see the figure in all its glory, you know, when Jazzwares or Mattel or whoever is ready to reveal it to us, you know. And that's got to be so frustrating for the toy companies, especially, I would think.
Man, I remember like the Pat Patterson and the Ultimate Warrior in his suit. They had to have come out of like the factory or something. I mean, they were really crude. Like, the painting was off. It looked like they're probably dumpster dives or something, but that sucks for that to drop before the company can do it properly. And like, to see a Pat Patterson figure is so exciting, but when it's discolored and not even, you know what I mean? It looked like somebody just pulled it out of a garbage can, took a picture of it, and that's your introduction. That's
right. Like, you don't even know what all he comes with. You know, yeah. Like, I've seen leaks of like the Jericho chase, and he's missing like his belt and sunglasses, and you know, they're always missing accessories and things. And then people are like, oh, that doesn't look so good. And it's like, well, you don't know if that's like where in the production process that figure is, you know. And it's just, in my opinion, it's silly to get so uptight about it, but that's a community. I mean, we're all super passionate. Trust me, I love seeing stuff too, or knowing lineups and whatnot, but I just hate when those get out to the public. So, because
yeah,
you just feel for the, you know, like Steve or Jeremy and them, because they have all these plans for us. You know, like, who knows what they're planning to show at Double or Nothing at AEW. You know, maybe they had some big reveal, and, you know, like that Miro prototype just leaked. So I don't know if that was something they're going to show us, you know, I don't know. But it just, I feel so bad for them personally. And I wish it was a trend that would go away, because it's gotten so bad lately.
It's like, people don't understand that. In the same sense, these are just wrestling figures. We're all just doing a hobby. But on the other side of the coin, there's guys like you mentioned, like Bill, that this is their livelihood. This is how they make their livelihood.
Yeah, so marketing plans they have could totally get kiboshed because Joe Schmo leaked something, you know? And I mean, I have friends who leak stuff, and, you know, I'm not looking to harp on them for their choices or whatever. I personally just wish it was a trend that would go away. Cause, you know, we get so excited for like Comic-Con in July. And I feel sometimes lately, just even lineups have been leaked so far ahead. It's like, we already know most likely that figure is going to be shown. And I don't know. I used to love when Mattel would do Comic-Con, because it's like, you see tons of new stuff that we didn't know were coming, and then you get so excited about it. And now I feel like I know pretty much everything, and it's like, oh, like, okay.
Yeah, I could be off base here, but I kind of feel like it's a certain type of person. Like, there, to me, there's a parallel between people that want these leaked figures, people that, like, when the internet first started taking off, and people that wanted to go on and read the spoilers and know what was going to happen on Raw before they watched it. And
right.
I don't get that ideology. Like, these same people probably want to know every detail about a movie before they go see it. And I understand we all want to be first. And well, I guess not all of us. I don't care if I'm first, but a lot of people want to be first. Mm-hmm. But I just sit back and enjoy it, man. Let it come organically.
Yeah, you know, it just kind of ruins the excitement.
So out of this wave with the new guys that you just pictured, which one is there one that you're more excited about than the others to add to your collection? Or, I mean, obviously you got all of them sent there, and if people think they need to get mad at you for getting them early, like how are you supposed to do your job without the figures? Of course you're going to get them early. That's kind of the, the way it works. But is there one that you're more glad to have in your collection than the others, or you have favorites in that set?
Yeah, in Wave 6, my favorite is the Chase Jericho. You know, I think a lot of people are underwhelmed with this wave, which stinks because it's just a lot of people we already have a version of. So I get that aspect of it. But in my opinion, don't sleep on them because they're nice upgrades from some of their previous ones. But the Chase Jericho, and now that his odds have increased, I really hope a lot of people genuinely can get their hands on it, because the suit jacket, like, it's just a look for Jericho we really don't have. I know we have that one Mattel one in the suit, but, you know, this one is a cloth suit, which is cool, and his sunglasses, and his sculpt is pretty good, too. And that's my favorite from 6. The Sheeta is probably my second favorite. The Hager was pretty good. And the Lucha Bros, like all of them, they all have their pros and cons. But I'd say Jericho was my favorite. And Wave 5, I got to shoot those too, and I was super excited for that wave. And that Moxley, I really wanted when they revealed it, the render a while back with the eye patch. And I was so excited that Jazzwares came to me asking me if I wanted to do that set, because I didn't think I would ever get my hands on it, especially to open it. You know, I would have to find a second for me to feel okay opening it, I guess. So I was just floored that I got the opportunity to do that, because that's a really cool one in 5. Because, you know, we don't have any Dean Ambrose or John Moxley figures with an eye patch. It's just so unique.
Yeah, I agree with that. You mentioned the figures being an upgrade from some of their previous releases, and my brain immediately kind of connected another topic of discussion that I've had, which is the Mattel figures themselves. Like when those first came out, I didn't even collect them. I just thought the faces didn't look good. I just was underwhelmed by them. I wasn't a big fan of them. And it took them many, many series until, I'm trying to remember which one it was, that there was a figure that came out and I was like, oh, I got to get that. And that's when I jumped in. But unfortunately, back like Tommy Dreamer's figure, like the face and stuff, to me, didn't come out good on those early. I know that was a basic, but I feel like the Elites weren't that great either originally, but they've come such a long ways. And I think people just need to be patient. The same thing will happen with the AEWs.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. And I didn't even think I was going to collect Mattel. Because, you know, the thought of starting over again is really overwhelming.
Yeah.
Like, why do you want to collect 50 Undertakers again, you know, or whatever? And but I did. I drank the Kool-Aid, so I'm not one to talk. But they've definitely come a long way. And, you know, Steve was in my photography group on Facebook before he joined Mattel, and he loved doing toy photography, and it was so cool that he made an effort to really make a line essentially dedicated to us, like the Ultimates, where, you know, you could really pose the figures more, and then all the swappable hands and heads with expressions, like they're like dream come true figures for photographers and or animators for that matter. And now they're starting to do the double jointed elbows. So they keep evolving as time goes on. And I think Jazzwares, I assume, will be doing the same thing with evolving. I mean, you've already seen how the figures have gotten better. And I imagine this other series are going to be doing, and I have not seen anything from it. So I don't want someone thinking I'm being cryptic. That's the other funny thing recently. I have to watch every single thing I say. If I use a GIF of someone from AEW or just a phrase, like people read so into it. And it's just so funny to me. But I have not seen any Unmatched or anything yet, but I'm just hoping the figures continue to get better and better like they have been. You know, the skin tones have been corrected now. And being a photographer, I had such a hard time shooting Wave 1 in my own artistic photography because their skin was just so bright with the light that it was so reflective. And they've just come a long way already, and I'm really excited to see where the line goes. And I really do hope it has longevity, not like the TNA line that lasted a couple years, if that, and then disappeared, you know. I hope the AEW line sticks around for a long time.
the early Mattels were, I don't mean to bring that up or say that like Tommy Dreamer's figure wasn't any good. I just thought it was behind the Jax version, for example. And that's not discrediting what Mattel did. It just means they hadn't reached that level of the bar yet, in my opinion. But I have no doubt that if Mattel put a Tommy Dreamer figure out today, it would be on par with, you know, I'm sure it would exceed the Jax.
Yeah, I would love an elite Tommy Dreamer. I think I had a custom made with that basic head, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, I mean, Jax, that's why I get annoyed too when people, you know, crap all over the Jax figures, because it's like we wouldn't have our Mattel collection without those Jax figures, you know? I don't know what a Mattel collection would look like had Jax not laid down the groundwork there for them to base theirs off of. And who knows what the AEW line would have looked like if there were no Mattel figures, you know? Like, they keep evolving off each other. I don't know. I still have all my Jax. I mean, a lot of them fall apart. My Ruthless Aggression figures, or even some of my Classic Superstars, I noticed they're very brittle now, where their arms just, like, fall out of the sockets. And it's really weird. But I don't know if the plastic just weakens over time or what, but...
You know, it's funny you bring that up, because just last night, as a matter of fact, I was looking at some of my Jax, and I tend to get some of the heads from them and make, you know, sure, Mattel customs with them. And I found my Spike Dudley, and the arm, like you just said, it just fell off.
Yeah, it's the strangest thing. Like, I have the last Classic Superstar, Shawn Michaels, and like that crappy set where they didn't put a lot of effort into them or whatever. I don't know if you remember that final wave of them or whatever.
Yeah.
And my Shawn, both of his arms fell out.
Yeah, that was like the weirdest thing.
It's so weird. I'm like, what the heck, dude? And I can't even find another one to replace him with. So it's like I have to glue his arms in his body now, and I'll never be able to pose him again.
I never posed my Spike or played with him or anything. He was just sitting in a pile of figures, and I went to go pick him up, and his arm was laying there next to his body. And I'm like,
I can relate. I had my ECW CM Punk like that, and one of my Tommy Dreamers from the ECW line like that. I mean, I have probably 10 or so of them where their arms and crap are falling off, and it's like, I don't even play with them, you know? Like, what the hell? It's frustrating. My dad's like, well, are they even really worth replacing? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, I don't necessarily want to spend the money on them again, or what kind of condition I'd even find one in now, you know?
You mentioned Eric Bischoff, and true or false, you've had Eric Bischoff, Elijah Burke, Lisa Marie, and some wrestler, obscure wrestler named Hulk Hogan promote your Crash Collision Wrestling. They've promoted it for you.
Yeah, that's really funny. You even stumbled across all that. Yeah, I had Hulk. When I met Hulk, my dad took me to a signing to meet him. So that was before even I, and granted, I don't really know Hulk at all, but that was before I quote unquote worked with him at TNA. And it was so cool that he did that for me. And then when I was at TNA, I had Elijah do that for me. And Elijah and I are really close. He actually stayed at my wife and I's house before COVID. And he was also at my wedding, which was really cool. But I don't know if you managed to see that, but he totally ribbed me on my wedding. It was just a little funny story. He, I think it's like the day of, or the day before, or whatever, he was saying he's not sure he's going to make it. And I was so mad at him because my in-laws, you know, and my family for that matter, everybody was helping us pay for the wedding. And I was like, you can't just ditch a wedding like that. You know, it costs so much per plate and everything. And I was like mad at him. And then I was walking down the aisle at my wedding, and my dad walks up to me and he says, Elijah's here. And I look beyond everybody sitting down, and he's just standing way in the back with this huge grin on his face. And I was so mad at him for ribbing me.
That's a great story.
Yeah, it was wild that he was there, and he had so much fun at our wedding. It was really cool. Really meant a ton to us that he took the time to come to our wedding like that. But yeah, Lisa worked. She lived here in Chicago for many years until her split with her now ex-husband, but she had the restaurant, The Squared Circle. So we really bonded over the fact we were both from Chicago. And I didn't meet her till Florida, of course. And I did my documentary with her and really got to know her a lot. And then, you know, I could come home when I wasn't at school and see her. So like I got to hang out with her sometimes at her house and stuff. And then of course, once the restaurant really took off, I did a lot of vlogging vlogs with her there as just a fun way to, you know, I could say, hey, she's on my YouTube channel with me, you know. So it was really cool back then when I was really into YouTube, and I miss her a lot. I actually just Zoomed with her for the first time in like a year or so, a week or so ago. So it was really cool to see her again. All this COVID crap sucks so much on so many levels that, you know, you just don't get to see people really. And it was just really nice to reconnect with her. And yeah. And Eric, of course, has been a huge advocate for me since I was a teen. I'm friends with him on Facebook and Twitter and everything, and every once in a while he'll chime in on something of mine, which is really awesome of him, because he doesn't have to do anything, neither do any of them for that matter. But it's just really nice that he's made an effort to keep up with whatever projects I'm working on and stuff like that. So I'm just really blessed to have those friendships and, you know, people I grew up with watching on TV now in my life on a personal level. It's just really cool.
I don't know much about Lisa just from historically, like her career. I haven't seen much interactions with her, but from what I've seen, like Elijah online seems like one of the coolest dudes. He seems super interactive. And then, of course, Hulk Hogan's the Babe Ruth of wrestling, and Bischoff kind of helped change wrestling in one of the biggest ways that I've seen in my life. So that's a fine group of people to be friends with, and to have achieved that through your, you know, your hobby and your photography and all that. That's, what more could you ask for, man?
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's beyond surreal. I mean, that day when Eric reached out to me, he sent me like this really vague email. He's a TV producer. And I think I was going to an Impact Bound for Glory show with my dad that exact day, if I'm not mistaken, here in Chicago. And, you know, my dad's like, well, who the hell's this producer in your inbox? You know, I figured it was, you know, a troll or something. And then, you know, I asked, like, who are you? And it was Eric Bischoff. And I was like, yeah, right. You know, why the hell would Eric Bischoff be in a 15-year-old's inbox from YouTube? You know, like, it made no sense. You know, my dad asked me to ask him for his phone number to prove it was him. And he called me, and I was like, oh my God, that's mind blowing. It's freaking Eric Bischoff on my phone right now, you know?
Yeah.
And it was so cool. And I think it's later that year, he was at Ringside Fest, and my dad took me to Ringside Fest to meet him. And he like called out for me in front of all those wrestling fans. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God. Like, it was so, I don't know, like, you know, you grew up watching these people on TV, and all of a sudden they know who you are. Like, it's like, whoa. And I got to know him, and he was really, really cool. And, you know, obviously I was too young to work on a TV show. I was in high school, so, you know, I didn't have time to do that. Nor, looking back now, the quality of my work, in my opinion, wasn't anything that would be television worthy. But so I reached out to him when I went to Florida, because halfway through my freshman year of college, him and Hulk went to TNA, and he got my dad and I tickets to the episode, I think, him and Hulk debuted. And
oh, awesome.
Eric got us front row seats right next to Hall and Nat, or Hall and Pac, in the crowd. So, like, you know, the seats were empty until like the show started, and then freaking Scott Hall sitting next to me, you know. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? You know, it's just wild. And so I got to see that show like that, and then I talked to Eric, and he pulled a few strings and got me like an internship, quote unquote, there. But really, I got to do whatever I want and walk around backstage and stuff and learn the business a little bit. I wouldn't say I know much, because I, you know, they're not going to reveal all their, pull back the full curtain to some kid. But it was cool just getting to like help film some of the interview segments. Like, I became friends with like Abyss. He and Elijah, I was actually in a segment with them on TV. I don't know if you stumbled across that clip where they planted me in the crowd. And there was a feud between Elijah and Abyss, which is really funny of all people. And Abyss like rips me out of my seat in the crowd and, you know, takes me away behind some curtain or whatever. Like, he kidnapped me, and like my pants are like falling down a little bit. So to me, it's really funny. It's like, this kid's pants are falling down past his waist a little bit on freaking national television, you know. And then Elijah, of all people, comes running to save me, which I thought was really funny, just the irony of it. But it was really cool just getting to sit back there and get to know a lot of the guys, or just see how people were that I grew up watching, you know. Like, I became friendly with Matt Morgan too. I'm still friends with now. I don't know him quite as well as Lisa and Elijah, but he's another really, really great guy. I love him a lot. And but I had some interesting experiences too. Like the story I always tell is one day when I was there, I was sitting backstage on one of like the production boxes, just minding my own business while they were, you know, the show started, and Bully Ray came out of like the gorilla position area. And he saw me sitting there, and he thought I was like some fan somehow who snuck backstage, because, you know, I look like a kid. I look a lot younger than I am. And he just went off on me, like, I think trying to scare the hell out of me. Yeah. And I never forgot that, because I was like, oh my God, dude. Like, and he's like, who are you here with? And of course I name dropped Eric, because like, doesn't get much higher up than that over there. And he left me alone. But it was funny, like many months later, he was walking with Eric, and Eric introduced him to me, and he was as nice as can be. And I was like, I haven't forgotten what you did to me a few months ago, you know, but it was just really funny. But that's just, I guess, the only horror story I could think of that I've ever had with a wrestler there. But I used to like hang out with Elijah a lot after tapings. Like we go out for dinner late at night. He loves collecting and stuff too. So like we would go, I remember going to Kmart once, I think it was like WrestleMania season. And there were these fans from the UK that happened to be there, and they were like so excited he was at Kmart. And he wound up signing like some receipt paper or something, because that's all he could get his hands on to give someone an autograph there. And I don't know. I mean, I could go on with little stories and things. Like one time I had to get Dixie Carter some fruit from the cafeteria. She like, gave me money to go get her fruit because she was busy or whatever. It was just little things like that were just really funny.
What era was that? Like, was that during Bully Ray getting his push and doing the whole Brooke Hogan angle? Or was that, what time period was that?
I was there from 2010 to 2012. I remember the Aces and Eights were a thing then.
Okay.
I don't remember if he was a part of that yet or not. I forget. It could have been that whole time while I was there. But yeah, he is his character big time in my opinion. But
oh, wow. Yeah, okay.
That's that makes sense. I mean,
yeah, I was going to say that's what I always hear, and I'm sure everyone else hears too, is the best wrestlers are themselves just dialed up or amplified, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's why I think I bonded with the wrestlers I did, because they had to them, and that's how I tend to be. You know, I like I mentioned earlier, I get along with people easily, and, you know, they at least showed me that respect pretty quickly, so I stuck with them. And, you know, I love them all so much, and I've known them all almost 10 years now, which is insane to think about. But yeah, I'm forever grateful for that opportunity, because, you know, I don't know when I'd ever experience getting to, you know, I even got to work with Hulk Hogan there. Like, you know, I got to walk around with him, you know, which was absolutely mind-boggling to me, because he's a childhood favorite of mine.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll never forget one, that was my last day there. He came up to me and congratulated me on graduating college. I was just minding my own business, standing around. And he came up to me, and, you know, that meant so much to me. And obviously I know he doesn't have the best track record lately, but he's always been good to me as a person. And I'll always have that image of him in my mind, I guess is the best way to put it. But, you know, to have one of my childhood heroes come up to me like that meant so much. And it was just a really cool moment. And you know, I got to be in Sting's presence, like Ric Flair's presence, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, you know, like who would be able to do that today? You know, it was just wild as a wrestling fan my whole life to be walking around with these legends, you know. It was really cool.
I remember the first time I just met Ric Flair, like, you know, in a line of people. And that, I think that was like probably the very first time I was ever really starstruck, quote unquote, you know,
sure.
That feeling of like, holy crap, this is the guy that I watched on TV all these years. And so I can't even imagine if he was like, yeah, hey, like he knew who I was too, like in your situation, that must have been a super high.
Yeah, no, that's a great way to put it. You know, I think that was the first time I was starstruck, I would say, to be honest. And, you know, just being there, it really changed how I watch wrestling, you know, because I really learned you have to put your fanboyness aside. You can't be like marking out all the time.
Yeah.
You know, because they're going to get annoyed about that. But it was just really cool. Even seeing Sting like in his full makeup, like I went, like I had, I don't know, I was just a little child fanboy, like in my brain, like, oh my God, he's in his makeup, you know, just so cool. It was just surreal to say the least.
So I know you've got the WrestleZone column that you do, which we didn't really dive into. You've got your unboxing videos. You're doing the photos that we discussed, and you did the stop motion stuff in the past. Do you have kind of a favorite amongst those, or is it just kind of like your way of, I guess in the same way maybe a musician plays a little bass guitar and a little guitar and maybe some drums? Is that kind of just your way of spreading yourself into some different aspects of the hobby, or is there one that you kind of gravitate to more than the others?
I mean, I think photography would be my favorite these days because it's just such a creative outlet. But I've definitely dipped my toe in a lot of things. Like, I don't know if you follow the Wrestling Figure News Source Twitter, but that's my Twitter too. So I founded that with Jax long time ago. It was originally a TNA account that I was doing to promote the figures and whatnot. And then a lot of the wrestlers started following it and, you know, they made it more legit. And then I was like, well, this line died. So it's like, now what? And I expanded it to just wrestling in general for the figures, at least, and collectibles and stuff. And that account just really blown up over the years. So it's been fulfilling to try out new things. I think as a content creator, it's very satisfying to, you know, try out stuff and see what works. Because I've tried plenty over the years, and I, you know, like the reviews I did because it was easy content, but, you know, reviews are a dime a dozen. And there's people who are really good at reviews. Like, I'm not the most exciting person to listen to, in my opinion. So, you know, my reviews are kind of a snooze fest to me. But then I hear, and you know, as I've had some other interviews the past few weeks, and people are like, oh, I loved your reviews. I'm like, really? Like, you like that? But I don't know. That's just how I am as an artist. You know, you're very critical on yourself.
Absolutely.
But the photography thing is my favorite, and I've met so many wonderful people through photography. I just absolutely adore all my photography friends, and you know, it's, of course, it has its moments where there's some drama, but it's been the least dramatic.
Yeah, I normally like to ask my guests what they've found out in the wild or online on Amazon, or you know, in your case, shipped directly to them from Jazzwares, I guess. I don't know if we have enough time on this episode because I think you get some pretty awesome hauls. But do you have a list of figures that you've gotten recently, like I say, either in the wild or online, that you've ordered or brought in?
Sure. So I would say hunted down the Legends, Vader and Cena would be ones that weren't given to me for content. I'm trying to think, what else have I gotten? So I've been doing a lot of non-wrestling collecting lately because my wallet's just been on fire this past month of figures. But
I can't even really get into any other figures just because I think my wife's been plenty patient with what I spend on the wrestling, and I haven't really had the guts to try to expand that.
You're a smart man. No, my wife's a really good sport because I don't know because I got into Star Wars ever since The Mandalorian came out. Like, I've always liked Star Wars, but I was like, it's okay. And then Mandalorian, like, turned it up full gear for me. I was like, well, damn it. No, that's a rabbit hole. I've gone down. And I've gone down it big time, which is really bad.
Are you getting, like, ships and buildings and stuff? Like, everything, or?
Mandalorian stuff, I'm buying pretty much everything. But then the whole Black Series stuff, I just love those. And I'm like afraid if I don't get someone, I'm going to regret it later. A really bad way to be as a collector.
Right.
And that time with wrestling too, like I have to have every version of someone if I can, because I don't want to be looking at it on eBay in 3 years and being like, oh, it's $60 or whatever now, you know. But it's been hard finding wrestling figures, I'm not going to lie. It's been a freaking nightmare hunting stuff. Even just when I want to pick up more AEW guys, like I need another set of Wave 4. I never pre-ordered them on Ringside to keep mint. And just hunting those down has been a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
And
the secondary market is not our friend.
Exactly. And I'm not paying that for those. No way.
Yeah.
Distribution's been so wacky lately. Like, I finally started seeing the new Ultimates with Edge and Macho, which is great. But, like, I never found the Chase Ted DiBiase, so I paid dumb money for that recently because I'm a completionist and I want to know I have it. A peace of mind, I guess. You know, I hate having to spend, like, triple for something. But it's been horrible with the exclusive, like Target getting like one or two of a full set. It's like, why are you only getting one Royal Rumble Elite? You know, it doesn't make any sense to me. And then you got to run to 20 Targets to hope you find it to complete it. Then you got to race all the crazy scalpers. And, you know, collecting just, in my opinion, has become a brutal nightmare due to COVID, you know, and they took away all the sites that help us find stuff. And now you got all that trading card nonsense where people are like holding people up in the parking lots of guns. And it's like, if they're doing that for trading cards, imagine once they get wind of like how much AEW stuff goes for, you know, and then they're gonna ruin it for that. Like, it just sucks. And
it's so crazy with the trading card thing is like, nobody was collecting trading cards like a year ago, if we're being honest. And it frightens me how easily society just jumps on to something like that, you know. Like, I had trading cards when I was a kid, but I'm not going to just go out and start collecting them now just because everybody else is and it's all the rage. Like, that frightens me. And then it gets to the point where some guy pulls out a gun, like you said. And that's why I'm better off locked away in my house just dealing with my wrestling figures, I guess.
I hear you, man. I mean, I've been trying to hunt these new Target Star Wars figures the past few days, and I've had to get up early in the morning to go be the first one in the store, and then they can't even find the full set. Like, they ship the set by character, I guess, is how they're doing it. So it's like character-specific cases, but then they're not getting every character. So, and then they'll be like, oh, it's coming in this day, and then you go the next day, they're like, oh, actually, it's coming tomorrow. It's just not fun, and then employees get so fed up because they deal with some of those clowns who are just awful to them. Like, I saw, like, the G.I. Joes. I don't know if you've seen all the nonsense of those figures, but I saw some post of some guy today who said that some Target he went to had, like, four in the back, and they wouldn't go check for him, so he started destroying the store.
Wow.
And it's like, and this is a grown man, like probably, I don't know, way older than me. And it's like, dude, what are you doing? You know, like, it's just a toy.
Yeah. And I've been to Target a few times going in to look for a figure or whatever. And there's a line of grown men that should probably be at work and maybe have a job. And they're standing 30, 40 people deep outside waiting to go in to get a pack of cards. And I'm just like, what's happening here?
Right. It's crazy what collecting's turned into. And I really do worry about once these people start doing it with action figures, that like everything's going to be under lock and chain, you know?
Yeah, the Walmarts out here are they're already converting the toy sections. A lot of them are where they're, the toys are behind glass cases now.
That's awful.
Yeah. So it's nuts, you know? I don't know what the future holds for that, but
it's just sad. You know, people should be a better example out there. And that's why I always try to be a positive, good person if I can, because there's so much negativity on the internet, especially. And, you know, people don't want to deal with negativity after dealing with a long day of work or stress or whatever it is, you know.
And absolutely. And to that point, man, I would say that, again, if everybody will just let Jeremy do his job, let Jazzwares do their job, and let you do your job, then we all just wake up one day and there's these awesome pictures that are on our timeline that we can just enjoy and not screw with the process and not try to, you know, leak stuff and ruin it. Let's just, you'll get it when you get it, and let's just be happy that we are getting it. Because when I was a kid, I always tell the story, playing with LJNs, there was 25, 30 guys made or whatever that I had. And so I had to, they were very embarrassing customs. I wouldn't dare share pictures of those today, but I had to create it, all the guys I wanted, because they weren't there. And today they are there. So we should just be stoked that we have them.
Exactly. That's how I like to be, just grateful we get a figure of anybody, you know. That's why, like, when people are super critical, it's like, I mean, I get it, but at the same time, be happy we even got a figure of this person, you know, because we may never get another one.
Absolutely. Man, I could talk to you probably for another couple hours, but I know you've got plenty of stuff going on and been more than gracious with your time with me. And so I don't want to take any liberties with your time. But like I mentioned earlier, for anybody who's not familiar with you or your work, where can people find you? If there's anything you want to plug or anything, floor is yours.
Sure. No, thank you again so much for having me and just shooting the breeze with me like this. It's really awesome. I love doing stuff like this. And then obviously not because it's about me. I just love getting to know people like yourself on a really personal level. It's really fun. And as far as keeping up with me, my Instagram is probably my most fun platform, would be MBG1211 on Instagram. That's where all my figure photography lives. Twitter is Matt B. Goldberg. And I still don't really know what to ever post on my Twitter, so bear with me. WrestleFig News is my news site that kind of corresponds with WrestleZone and stuff. So I do a lot of collectible coverage. So if you want to know if figures go live and stuff on there, you'll see it on there with links and things. And Facebook is just MBG Films. It's just sharing my articles and things. And you guys can add me on Facebook if you want. I'm very open to adding you guys on there to chat figures and just share and chatter and my latest pickups, everything. I just love interacting with you guys. It means a ton to me for how much everyone has supported me over the years. It's the least I can interact with everybody. So don't be afraid to message me. And please know my posts are not to brag or boast or anything. I'm just super excited to share in the hobby with all of you, as you could at least relate compared to my family, who has no idea what the hell I'm talking about. So, or a friend for that matter. But yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was a blast chatting with you. I really appreciate the opportunity to do this, and maybe we could do it again or something sometime.
Yeah, man, it was a pleasure and my honor to have you on, and I appreciate the time that you gave us. It was very generous. One of my traditions that I put into the show is that I like to ask my guests to pick any wrestling theme, past, present, and we'll play that on our way out of here.
Sure, I guess fitting to my quote-unquote Uncle Bill, we could do Goldberg's theme.
Goldberg, that's awesome, man. Yeah, we'll play that on our way out of here. Matt, thanks again, man. I really appreciate it.
For sure. Thank you again. I really appreciate it.
Take care.
You too.
I know I went long today with the Hour Broadway, but I do need to give a thank you and some shout outs on my way out of here. I want to give a huge thank you and a shout out to Matt Goldberg. The dude's got tons of stories and he's contributed so much to the community. I'm grateful for his generosity and giving me so much time and just for coming on this podcast. Shout out Matt Goldberg. Shout out to Dylan and Rob with the Wrestling Figure Database. If you haven't checked them out and their website, what are you waiting for? It's basically Kid Me and Adult Me's combined favorite website all rolled up into one. Get over there, check them out, and support them any way you can. Shout out to Dylan and Rob, Wrestling Figure Database. Shout out to my pal, the Fig Hunter, aka Mike, and the entire Collectors Helping Collectors community. Thank you guys for taking care of the community and getting figures into the hands of collectors and beating those scalpers to the pigs. City by city across the nation, shout out Collectors Helping Collectors. Shout out to my buddy Drew Venzel and his wife, Caitlin Venzel, and their podcast, Tales from the Estate. America's fun couple, chopping it up, making me laugh, making me think, and who doesn't love a good top five and all the honorable mentions to go along with it? If you're not checking them out, get over there and check them out. Shout out, Drew and Caitlin Venzel, Tales from the Estate. Shout out to Jeff and Scott, Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast, the longest running episodic wrestling figure podcast. They're the originals. Shout out Jeff and Scott, Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. And speaking of Scott, don't forget to support Drunk Wrestling History with him, Eddie, and Adam. A hilarious show. Three awesome dudes out there talking wrestling, but they're doing it drunk. Follow that, everybody. Shout out Scott, Eddie, and Adam, Drunk Wrestling History. And shout out Breaker and Bane. Breaker and Bane's Power Hour is a weekly listen for me, and I hope it is for you too, as well as Breaker's other project, You Know It's Fake Right, a peek behind the scenes of professional wrestling. I enjoy it every week, and hopefully you will too. Shout out Breaker and Bane. Last but definitely not least, I'd like to take a moment to honor all those who served, especially those who paid the ultimate price and lost their lives for complete strangers. I'll be off next Monday connecting with family in observance of Memorial Day, but I'll be returning the following week. Thank you to everyone that listens to this podcast. I'm grateful for each and every listener. If there's anyone you guys want me to have on this podcast, feel free to send in an audio or written message on the Anchor website at achairshot@gmail.com or DM me on Twitter at achairshot. The Big Van Vader figure giveaways are in the mail, and the Figure Kingdom shirts are getting ready to be given away. Make sure you enter and win a shirt. Support Manny. Thank you again, and until 2 weeks from now, be good to each other. Enjoy this awesome hobby, and I look forward to connecting with you all in 2 weeks' time, right here on Pulling Up a Chair. Thank you for listening to Pulling Up a Chair with a Chair Shot. If you enjoyed it, please help put the show over by telling a friend and clicking the subscribe button on Anchor, Google, Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. You will get instant notifications whenever a new show drops. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at achairshot. That's achairshot. You will want to keep an eye on my socials in the coming weeks. Trust me. Feel free to leave questions or audio comments on the show page on Anchor FM's website or email them to me directly at achairshot@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in again, and until next week, Bobby?
All good things must come to an end, right?
Well, every time changes
everything. And a friend in need is a pest.